If we look at source D, source D is a famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says as follows: Sheli sheli v'shelcha shelcha zomida beinunit. If a person lives their life saying what's yours is yours, so it's mine is mine, that is the normal focus of people. In other words, that it says here is of average character. It's more than average. By the way, all of American law is based upon that. What's mine is mine, is what's yours is yours. And that you have no right to what is mine, so to speak. I have no right to what is yours, but we're going to make sure that you do have what is yours, and I will make sure that I have what is mine. But some say it's the character trait of those who live in Sodom. Now, anything taken to an extreme, has the potential to become Sodom. That if a person is bereft of a livelihood, he cannot work anymore because of physical injury, because of mental injury, because of emotional instability, something they cannot do. And if I say, Shali, Shali, Shalcha, Shalcha, listen, don't ask me for anything, and don't send your friends to ask me for anything, because after all, this is Zomido Benin. That's the way the world should function. That's Midat Sodom. The whole idea of Sodom, and by the way, the word Mida means measure. Sodom and the people of Sodom, which was of course the antithesis of Avraham Avinu, they were completely focused on the law. The law is that we don't give to people who are indigent. The law is, if you can't take care of yourself, you're out. And of course, now one of the great debates in our society is to what degree are those people who can shift for themselves obligated to help those who cannot? And if there are, that's to a great degree, to what degree are they obligated to give to those who choose not to? These are big issues. These are overriding issues that we have to talk about, but not here. But they are things that people need to think about. To what degree am I responsible to other people who cannot help themselves, Jews or non-Jews? Jews or non-Jews. Now, we're going to move now to the next. We're going to look at item E. Yehuda ben Igra says in the name of Rabbi Meir, the Hebrew is there, of course, questionable leket is considered leket. As you know, these are obligations that a farmer has to provide for the poor. Leket and shichacha and peah. So the Gemara wants to find out, and Gemara and Chulin wants to know, well, what happens if I'm not sure it's leket? Can I keep it myself? Do I have to give it to the poor? If I know that this comes under that category, fine. If not, then do I have to? So the Torah tells us that if you're not sure about whether it's leket or shichacha or peah or any of those three elements that belong to the poor, it is theirs. It is leket. It is shichacha. It is peah. You must treat it as such, and you must distance yourself from it and leave it for the poor. As it is written, and because the Torah says, ani varash hatzdiku. Ah, there's the word tzaddik. Ani varash hatzdiku. The indigent, the impoverished, you must vindicate. So then the Gemara says, certainly it can't mean that you vindicate them in court. What does that mean? Usually in Hebrew, the word tzaddik is associated with vindication in court. So the Torah explicitly states you can't favor the poor. If I don't know what it is, why should they get it and I don't? But rather it means forego some of what you are entitled to and give it to him. Okay? Ani varash hatzdiku means to say to forego, to be mevater, to forego that to which you are entitled. You could make the claim in court. Don't. Be willing to distance yourself from what you are completely entitled to. And there's a time for the tzaddik to make a decision that they're not going to do it. Now, in this case, it's not only the tzaddik. Everybody's obligated by that. We're going to see how it affects the tzaddik a little bit later. But now we have introduced the concept of tzedakah. And tzedakah is lifnim mishurat hadin. Now, you may have heard this phrase. Many of you may have heard it. There is raw justice, what we would call mishpat. Remember, we go back to the pasuk of Avraham Avinu, laso tzedakah o mishpat. So, mishpat is to acquire for myself that to which I am entitled, legally. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with it. By the way, to Kohlberg, that's what all of morality is. To make sure that everybody gets what they're entitled to. To Carol Gilligan, no. It has to do with What are not what are my rights vis-a-vis the other person, is what are my obligations toward them as well. Okay? So, and of course you'll say, well, do I need Kohlberg to tell me how to act as a Jew? No, not at all. I don't need Carol Gilligan either. What I'm saying, though, is that here we can see embedded in this relatively new revelation of the 20th century is embedded centuries of Torah. Right? That there is mishpat, which is that to which I am titled, and then there is the tzedakah, that is to be mevater, from the word yoter. It means to be willing to forego that to which I'm entitled. By the way, Rav Hirsch, when he speaks on Pirkei Avot, says that that I can only forego that, and I believe I passed it out probably in the addendum sheet. If I would, it's right in the second one. If I would give to my fellow man only that which he would be able to take for himself without my consent, there will surely be no love between us. I practice mercy only if, in other words, I am doing tzedakah, only if of my own free will and sense of duty I give to another that which would be my right to keep for myself and to which he has no legal claim or right to demand of me. It is only where justice is recognized that there is also room for loving kindness. In other words, one of the most important things is, you know, yeshiva bochurim spend 1/6 of their life or more studying laws of damages, laws of property rights and responsibilities one to the other. So a person, if you don't know what is really yours, if you really don't know, I'm not saying all the yeshiva bochurim know either, that's a different issue, but if I don't know what is really mine, how could I possibly give to you as tzedakah? Because maybe I'm only giving to you what you already deserve, not from myself. The whole idea of being mevater is to be willing to forego that to which I am normally entitled. Now, I want to talk for a moment. There are other sources here, which I will leave so much to you. We only have about 5 more minutes, so I want to make sure that we cover the essence of what we're talking about. I want to now focus in the next 5 minutes on the idea of being mevater, that the tzaddik is a person, by definition, who has mastered the art of foregoing that to which she or he is entitled. That's not easy. Because in America, we live in a country of rights. And by the way, I never talk about America without thanking God every day for the fact that we can live here, and that we can discuss that, and that we can see all, and that we are able to determine what are, in fact, our rights and what we are entitled to. So I thank Hashem every day. But in America, we are a nation of rights. I once met Kohlberg, and I asked Kohlberg, what stage he thinks America as a nation is. He said stage 5. The Constitution of the United States, he says, is a stage 5 document. Stage 5 document, which means to say it's based on social contract. And of course, that's no big surprise because it's based upon Locke and Hobbes and other great thinkers of social contract. And social contract is we create laws, we change laws because the laws in themselves are not good because they're laws. They are made laws because they're good. And if they're not good, then we dispense with them. That's stage 5 thinking. Now, within Judaism, I want to tell you a story which I think is very, very powerful about being mevater. Has to do with my son-in-law and my grandson. Okay. Now, my son-in-law, they thank God they live in Beitar, and they have 11 children, and it's quite a lively household. But when they only had about 3 or 4 children at that time, their 6-year-old son came over, and they live a relatively Spartan life. You know, it's one of those in Eretz Yisrael where the light fixture hangs down from the ceiling and there's no... It's fine, that's fine. They're happy, we're happy, everybody's fine. Nobody misses a meal, and they're happy kids. But he comes over, and they learn to separate what they need from what they want. So lo and behold, the son has one of the great... He found a candy bar, complete with wrapper, everything. Now, this is a find that he could not imagine. He goes over to his father. His father was sitting at the table. I saw this with my own eyes. And he said to him, Abba, I found the candy bar. And he knew it was from the jar, so it wasn't necessarily somebody else. He said, can I have it? And his father looked at him. He looked at the candy bar. And he said, yes, get me a knife. So he goes, he gets the knife, and then he cuts the candy bar into five pieces. He says, now, take one piece and give the rest to your family. Now, that's very nice. Did the rest of the children, right? Very nice. That's good. He had three options. Now, I never talked this over with him, but he had three options. One is to say, he could have taught us on a very important lesson. You find something, if there's no simon on it, if there's no identifying mark, it's yours, you can have it. And if your brother would find it or your sister, they'd also be entitled to it. He could have said, no, you can't have it because it just happened to be found. We're going to put it back in the jar. He chose to teach the child one more time. Yes, according to the halacha, you may have a right to it. That's right. But I have a bigger agenda for you. The agenda is to learn to forego that to which you have a right. And that comes only from the essence of Jewish values. Now, I'm going to actually conclude with two stories. One is from Yisrael Salanter, and the other one is a very powerful story, which is not on your sheet. Neither of those two are on your sheets, but you'll be able to see that all of these sources will blend into this main theme, and that is to be a tzaddik is to be willing to forego, to think autonomously, and be willing and joyfully return to your place. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was known to be the founder of the Musar movement in the 19th century. He was known to be a tremendous medakdek b'mitzvot, tremendously careful in every mitzvah. And he spent a lot of his life traveling from town to town to spread the idea of Musar. And Musar, by the way, is not what we normally consider it to be. Musar is not normally, you know, we consider Musar to be that you're being castigated for something. Musar is self-correction. The sign of an adult is self-correction. We all know that, right? When little children can't correct themselves, they need an external source, a heteronymous source to correct for them, right? Autonomous is not there for them yet, by the way. All right? Now, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was the leader of the Musar movement, and he said to them, and wherever he would go, he would teach Musar. And the story is told that on a Friday night, they were all there, they made Kiddush, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and everybody watched in those days. They want to see, how did he make Kiddush? How does he wash his hands? He took a little tiny bit of water and he washed his hands, right? Now, most of us, we have a nice, you know, nice cup. And we do. So after they made a motzah, they asked him, why so little? He said, I notice that you live on the top of a hill. And I also notice that you have a water carrier, a girl, who brings the water up. The more water I take, the harder she has to work. I will not measure my frumkeit balanced on her back. That, yeah, 1 minute. All right, so we're going to close this with 1 minute. That is that statement. I want to close with another issue, and that is simply there's a story in Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was visited constantly by Eliyahu HaNavi. And once the city in which they were lived was surrounded by a hostile army, and they said, we want so-and-so and send him out to us. There's a Mishnah which says specifically that if they ask for a specific party, and if he's probably guilty, you may send him out, even though he's going to his death. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi did. Sent him out. And Eliyahu HaNavi stopped coming to him, the Gemara says. And so finally Eliyahu came to him once. He said, how come you haven't been visiting me? He said, because of what you did. You sent a man to his death. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, lo mishnah asiti? Did I not follow the Mishnah? He said, and then the Gemara says, avo mishnas chasidim asita? Zo mishnat chasidim, is that the Mishnah of a tzaddik? No, that's not the Mishnah. You may have followed the letter of the law, but lifnim mishurat hadin means you have to. Lifnim means inside the letter of the law. And with this, I'll conclude. Inside the letter of the law means there is the external law which everybody sees. Behind it is the motivation of the law, God's motivation, that autonomy that the author of all autonomy has given us. And so he said, yes, you may have observed the letter of the law, but to be a tzaddik, to be a Mishnas Chasidim, that's another category. To forego, to think autonomously, and know when to return to your place. Okay, good morning, everybody. Thank you very much. And I,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. Can I just ask a very quick
question?
Sure,
of course.
So I thought that Abraham, the Akedah?